B-Pod Studios.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays. .975 The Fanatic.
What up?
It's time now for the Gargano and Mertitus Midday Show with Anthony Gargano and Jason Mertitus. It starts now.
Well, a good morning, everybody. A happy July the 15th to all across the Delaware Valley. You know, it's a happy, it's 15 days of July in the books. So that means we're halfway through the month. That means we are right there on pace, getting ready to start some Eagles football. All right? Because that's what this is all about, getting through the summer. And the Phillies have made it that way. The Phillies have sapped all joy from the summer on the sports landscape. And it all starts with coming into this season without enough pitching, something that we all thought. And you go, well, maybe you can bash your way to contention. And then you realize, like, there's no bench either, as we've seen with the dreaded nap word. All that said, they come this season and they're ill-prepared for a run after signing Bryce Harper. But, you know, that's not the cardinal sin. The cardinal sin is you don't kind of fix it. You know better than anyone, you should, what you have. And the cardinal sin is, you know, you left yourself really one side of your team really, really in peril. But then you couple it by being arrogant. Yes. Isn't that just lovely? Because when we saw them last, after the, you know, they had the walk-off home run, did you take any joy out of it? Probably not, right? Because I should have taken joy in them salvaging a win against the Nationals, but I didn't. You know why? Because I'm starting to hate this team. I'm starting to hate the players, and I really, really hate the front office people. And I don't want to. I want to embrace them. I want to love them. But Andy McPhail finally shows his face. He's a flipping groundhog, all right? The guy who runs the entire organization finally shows his face and the arrogance dripping out of this man's mouth. Pure arrogance. That you're not allowed to ask a question that begs to be asked. Questioning leadership. They've underperformed. They fell apart last year, and they've underperformed in the first half this year. And this notion, I'm not going to dignify that with an answer. Really? You don't show up at all. You're never available. You show your face a handful of times that you've even been here, and you want to come across like you're living in the ivory tower? Andy McPhail, what have you done? What have you done? You're a small market steward. And this is not a small market. This isn't Minnesota. This isn't Baltimore. We care, and we care deeply. And you offended us, Andy McPhail. Completely offended us. Friday night, he shows his face. And in all the excuses, he lets you know, we're not doing anything. It's on the players. It's on you. It's on you, and it's on Klentak, the GM that you hired that came into this season, which you should have been a contender, and you failed. Spell that with a PH, Andy. You failed. Let's look at it. You're in your fourth year. time now to contend, to really compete. Is this pitching staff? I don't want to hear that you're in that bogus wild card spot right now, because that was his answer. He insulted you with his answer that, oh, yeah, well, if the season ended today, we're in the playoffs. After he told you he's not doing anything at the deadline. After he said that, he said to you, it doesn't matter. To the players. Oh, but wait a second. Do you question us? We're in the playoffs right now. It's bogus and you know it. You're ill-equipped. This pitching staff is garbage. You came in with nothing in this pitching staff. Hopes. Aaron Nola, half of Jake Arrieta, and prayers. That was your idea for a pitching staff. That's it. What have you done to get Sir Anthony ready to pitch and close? What have you done? Yeah, listen, I got no problem with the closer. He's trying what he's doing. He's ill-equipped to be a ninth-inning guy. He throws one pitch. All Hector Neris does is throw a cutter. And listen, I like him fine enough. He's not a closer, though. You saw it the other night when in your ballpark on Fox, Juan Soto wins the game. You saw it. Like, you know, is he going to hold up in a pennant race? Is he going to hold up in October? Is he? But you come in ill-equipped on the back end part of your bullpen. You come ill-equipped with any kind of rotation. And then you got the balls to stand up there and be as arrogant as you do. That's a disgrace. Somebody should today, I think we need to let Andy McPhail know that he's in Philadelphia. Because maybe he doesn't know what it's like to be in a real city. Maybe he doesn't understand that sports is a little bit bigger deal here. That they don't care about baseball in Minnesota. That all they care about is ice fishing on a lake. Maybe he needs to realize where he's at. What a disgrace. What an affront to the fan. You know, I was so excited. We were all so excited. Harper, because that's all John Middleton wanted to do, is go get a big prize. He bags the fish. Excuse my fishing analogy. Just came off the water. I'm talking about it. But he was so excited to have Bryce Harper. And then you stop. What sense does that make? You get Real Muto, you get Segura, and you don't address pitching. Come on. It's crazy. And the way the organization is run, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable how it's run. I mean, you got guys that leave here and have dramatic better seasons, dramatic improvement on the way to better seasons. The drafts have been awful, putrid. The moves, no good. And this is your fourth year. This is number four for McPhail and Klentak. By 4 years, in the fourth season, you got to be a real contender. You got to be winning the division. What do we always say about turning over an organization? Think about it from a football standpoint. When a football coach enters his fourth year, if he gets 4 years, it's you better contend or you're out or you're fired. That's if he's trending in the right direction. If he's trending in the right direction. And the balls on Andy McPhail to stand up there and give you that nonsense is an affront to every Philadelphia sports fan, to every Phillies fan that went down there, spent a dollar, spent 5 minutes watching a game, everybody who cried when they won the World Series and cheered and loved, has loved this team for your entire life. But the carpetbagger comes in for 5 minutes and wants to tell you how to act. Well, I think it's time to let you, for you to tell him where he's at. An affront to you. That's what he did. Good morning, Andrew.
Hello, Anthony. Well said. Yeah, those comments made me angry over the weekend.
You know, because they were dripping with arrogance. That's why. They're dripping with arrogance. You know, it's amazing, some of these baseball people. Listen, I've been around that sport for a long time. And there's some amazing people in that sport. And there's also some incredibly arrogant, incredibly self-important. Hey, Andy, the next time you build a hospital, let me know. All right? Seriously.
Yeah, I mean, what did we hear all about David Montgomery when he passed away?
Great,
he was
the
nicest man
ever.
And then you got Andy McPhail coming out there. Like you said, dripping in arrogance.
It's unbelievable. I won't dignify that question with an answer. Oh, really? Huh. So you don't think that falling apart last year and underachieving this year, that, I don't know, maybe there is a question of leadership? Look, I don't think it's that. I think it's pretty easy. I think it's pitching. I think, you know, McPhail and Klentak go into this season with no pitching and a prayer. Again, Aaron Nola and a prayer. And you expect to do what? All right. I really need you guys today. We can't let this go without a slap on the wrist. Andy McPhail deserves a slap, a verbal slap on the wrist after what he did. He doesn't understand where he's at. And I think it's up to you guys to tell him. Tell him why you care about the Phillies. Tell him how long you've cared about the Phillies. Talk about, you know, if you're 20 years old, how you grew up with your name is Chase. All right? All that stuff. Talk about this. I want you to go deep into your heart about caring about this baseball team. I don't want you to convey that to the president of this franchise. All right, 610-632-0975. Andrew, that's my boy, the Tunis. I'm Kaz. We're just getting started on a Monday.
Gargano and Martinez Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
10 a.m. hour brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all styles of windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
You know, to me, honestly, I hate to even dignify that question with an answer. We're in the postseason today, if the season was over. To suggest for a second that there's something lacking at the leadership level or the coaching level, I just don't believe it.
You hear that? You hear the way he said that?
You know, to me, honestly, I hate to even dignify that question.
Are you kidding me? So let me see. Andy, J.P. Crawford, who couldn't hit Andrew's weight. All right? What are you, about $160?
Yes.
Right? He couldn't do anything with the bat off. You want to talk about a supreme pencil bat. He goes to Seattle, and he actually hits the ball. Did people leave? You know, Carlos Santana leaves here, somehow winds back in Cleveland, and he just crushes home runs.
He's batting cleanup for the All-Star team.
And you know what's amazing? Like, he's here. Like, you got to figure that if Carlos Santana is hitting at Citizens Bank Park, that he's going to hit a bunch of home runs. Unless maybe he's taught or told to do other things. whatever its launch angles or whatever you want, however you want to parcel it. To leadership at the coaching level, and he's affronted by that? You failed last year. All right. Now you've underachieved dramatically after adding like major bats. He's in his fourth year running this team. I keep going back to it. Who gets 4 years? Like, and the minute you question him, he comes out with that response. That's outrageous. Oh, Andy, let me look at your drafts. All right, hold on. So the number one overall pick in 2016, Mickey Moniak. Now, I will say he's had a little bit of an uptick recently.
Well, it's like last year, second half of the season.
Right. But Mickey Moniak, you want to talk, you take number one overall pick and you take a guy that is doubles guy at best.
There's 50 Mickey Moniaks.
No, there's a tree right along City Line Avenue, right here, the Mickey Moniak tree. And every once in a while, they'll bear fruit. And you know what the fruit is? Like a seventh hitter, a sixth hitter with a decent glove. Like, are you kidding me with that pick? Let's keep going there. Kevin Gowdy. I don't know what he's doing. Cole Staub. Now remember, let's go through this. Now JoJo Romero. Now we'll see. All right, like he has a little buzz. We'll see. Oh, here we go. Cole Irvin. Oh yeah, Cole Irvin. We saw Cole Irvin. I'm not going to. These rest of these names don't mean anything to you. Henri Lartigue. Grant Dyer. Blake Who? Quinn. Julian Garcia. That's 2016. But you should know your prospects by 2016. Oh, here's 2017. The eighth overall pick. Another outfielder. Adam Haseley. Oh, yeah, we see Adam Haseley off the bench.
At least he's still in your top three for top 30 prospects.
He was the eighth overall pick in 2017. Moniak was the number one overall pick in 2016. Andy McPhail, Matt Klentak should be fired off those two selections alone. That you can't get an outfielder? You can't draft an outfielder? You got 1 and 8, and you come away with those two picks? You're better off just blindly throwing a dart.
Yeah, Hazy's off the same tree as the Moniak tree.
It's unbelievable. Spencer Howard, Connor Seabold, Jake Schneider, Ethan Lindau, Dalton Guthrie. Are you kidding me? That's 2017.
Spencer Howard's got the highest upside, I think, out of that entire group.
Yeah.
He's pitching well right now in the minors.
That's it. That's a maybe.
Yeah, because Cole Irvin pitched well in the minors.
Right. Okay, I don't believe anything that comes out of them. And he was a junior, and he was that Cal Poly kid, Spencer Howard. I mean, look at this. Are you kidding me? That's 2017. They can't draft. Now, Bohm was taken in 18, and he looks like he's legit. We'll see. So right now, you're looking at one guy out of the last three drafts. When you drafted pretty well. I mean, if you're picking, Bohm was the third pick in the draft. If you're picking that high, don't you got a hit on those guys? Number one overall, number eight, number three. Look at where they're drafting. It's outrageous. And he fixes himself to say that. Look, I know you won the World Series twice. Back when baseball was still what mattered. He won the World Series when they played in a baggie in Minnesota. That's when he won the World Series, Andy McPhail. Hey, congratulations. So what's that, 30, almost nearly 30 years ago? So because he won the World Series twice, and again, hey, look, you know, can't, I'm not taking that away from you. Let's see. So since then, what have you done? You went to the Cubs in Chicago, and I remember this because they were in the wild card in 94. 98, excuse me. He got to the Cubs in 94. Wild card in 98, and he won a division in 03. And that was, of course, the Bartman stuff. And then that's it.
That's a lot of time.
It's a lot of time.
4 years to get to the wild card, 9 to win the division.
In Chicago. And then he goes to Baltimore. And let's see. 07 through 11, all losing seasons. With Peter Angelos at that point trying to spend money. Like, what in the world? How has he earned his arrogance? Can you tell me that?
No. And the guys that he found, I guess you can say found, Jake Arrieta, who didn't even pitch well in Baltimore. It was when he got to Chicago where he pitched well. And Manny Machado. But they weren't going to win anything in Baltimore.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I'm so angry today. It ruined my whole weekend as far as sports is concerned. In fact, it actually did me a favor. Because from what I heard about those, when I heard those comments on Friday, when I took the kids down the shore fishing over the weekend, and Brigantine, your spot, what a great island.
Beautiful island.
What a great, I met so many nice people. What a great spot. We were there, Captain Mike, over at the fish finder with the Fumos, really nice people. That was an awesome experience. Kids caught fishes. They caught some fish, excuse me.
That's good.
Yeah. Anthony caught a...
How happy were they?
Oh, my God. Except here's the problem. Anthony caught a flounder right early, right? Second, he was the second person on the boat to catch a fish. He thought it was going to be easy. And then he was shut out the rest of the day.
Oh, that stinks.
And then Little Ant was upset.
How long were you out there?
4 hours.
3-4 hours. Wow. Yeah.
And Little Mossy caught a sea robin.
Ugly.
Which is the Phillies of the sea.
Yes.
And he caught a flounder. And then I got a little baby shark.
You caught a shark?
A little baby shark.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
That would have freaked Jason out.
Anthony was able to, it's 18 inches, you know, it's a little baby.
Still would have freaked Jason out.
It's about the same size. And then Anthony got to throw it back. He was holding it. So it was nice. And so I was able to check out, except Saturday night, I caught the Soto home run. And I was like, And after them getting blanked on Friday and then losing that game on Saturday the way they did, there's a part of me, and I hate this feeling. And we really need to talk about our feelings. And 'cause that's what sports radio is. And I hate this feeling of good. Like, I hate that. I hate myself for feeling that way.
Well, when you get comments like that, I can't blame you. It's not that you want the team to lose. It's a guy like that. You want him to fail.
Yeah.
You want him to McFail.
Yeah. Yeah, I really did. I was completely affronted by him. Well, I mean, first of all, we don't see him. He never comes out of his hole, right? Then he comes out of his hole, and he speaks to you like we don't know ball. Look, I got news for you. It's not that deep, all right? It's not. It's not that deep. We know baseball in this town. There's no magic potion, none of that. Like, we understand it.
Yeah, and this weekend sucked. I went to the game Friday. I'm like, all right, here's where they start hot. Second half of the season.
Have been hopeful beyond
belief. And I'm losing it. I'm losing it. They get shut out in that game. Game two, no, let's go back to game one. Game one, they get shut out. That same night, Dallas Keuchel goes 7 innings, allows 1 earned run. They didn't want to sign Dallas Keuchel. I didn't want to sign Dallas Keuchel, but they didn't want to sign him because they didn't want to go over the cap. or they didn't want to get into the luxury tax. Well, he pitches pretty damn well in his last three starts where he's gone seven innings in each of them. Phillies don't have that. Then the next day, they blow a save. Hector Neris blows a save. What did Matt Klentak say to Mike Missanelli? Oh, we don't need Craig Kimbrell. We got Hector Neris.
I know.
Hey, are you serious, dude?
Yeah, well, here's the thing, too. Like, that was such a ridiculous statement because, I kind of like Hector. I do. But he's not a closer. He's not a closer for a playoff team, a legitimate playoff team.
You need a ground ball? Go to Hector Neris. You need three outs in the ninth against the Dodgers?
Come on. You know, he throws one pitch. Cutter. I mean, you know, what are you going to do? And then God forbid you elevate one. That's what Soto happens.
And Soto said it after the game. I knew I was going to get a splitter. He said, I knew I was going to get splitter because that's all he throws.
That's all he throws.
And do you see that ridiculous stat, by the way, with Juan Soto?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
He now has three go-ahead home runs in the ninth inning against the Phillies.
Yeah.
There's only one person who has four.
So when Franco, first of all, weren't you shocked? It was funny, Schmitty calls it, but weren't you shocked that they left, you were shocked that they left Grace in to pitch to Franco?
Lefty, righty? Why are you doing that?
You got Rodney up. You want to just go to Rodney. You know, Rodney attacks right-handed pitching. It's 100, but doesn't matter. Yeah.
Like, pitch is fine the other night.
So they lucked out because that was a horrible managerial move. But when Soto hits the home run, I was like nasty, like gleeful in a nasty way. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be filled with spite. But I feel that way. I do. I hate their front office. I hate them. I hate their hate the faces to me. Arrogant. Like, Klentak comes around like, dude, what have you done? We got his moves here. We'll go through all his moves. What have you done? Seriously. There's no issues. And by the way, this is the real deal. Today's July the 15th. And so, you know, this is my obligatory, I got to purge so I can move on to the Eagles and Sixers. That's what today is.
I hate to even dignify that question with an answer.
This is the purge. This is the Phillies purge. This is where I lose my emotional attachment to them. I'll always watch them, but this is where I lose my emotional being. You know, there's always a point like that. All right, let's go to John in Hazleton and get it started. Johnny, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, John.
Let me just start off by saying I'm 49 years old. In 1980, I was sitting in the 600 level, Game 6 of the World Series, right behind the first base dugout. The catch Pete Rose made when Bob Boone and him came there, that's etched in my head for my whole life.
There you go.
Everybody, I've Philly fan my whole life. Back in the 70s, late 70s, when we needed a guy, we went out and we got Pete Rose. Mike Schmidt will tell you that's why we won the World Series in 1980. Every time up until now, when we needed players, our front office went out and got it. The Pope went out and got it. Dallas Green went out and got it. Rudy Carpenter went out and got it. Everywhere, right up and down. What did Pat Gillick say in the one interview? You can never have too much pitching. Phillies, now we got no pitching. But what did he say? You can never have too much pitching. He wasn't afraid to go out and get the players. Like you guys have been saying, McPhail destroyed the Baltimore organization, him and Klentak, and look what he's doing to the Phillies organization. 2009, my son was born, my first son. Named him Chase. Why? Because I wanted him to play baseball and look and see what a baseball player was in Chase Utley.
Look at that. Look at that.
That goes to show I bleed Phillies. I bleed everything Philadelphia, but I bleed Phillies so much that Anthony, I've called other shows. I've called Missanelli's show. I've had arguments with him. He says, oh, it ain't Klentak, it ain't McPhail. Bull. This guy, him.
I don't know how you could say it's not them when we just went through their drafts.
Absolutely.
I mean, like, their system is a joke, and they're the ones who drafted them.
Yes, and they haven't drafted a pitcher in the first round in 5 years since they've been there. And then they claim they need pitching. Or pitching. They've drafted nothing but bums.
I hear you. Listen, Johnny, you hang in there, buddy.
I just want to hear one morning when I wake up, I turn your show on, that them two idiots were fired.
Yeah, I know. I hear you. Look, it's 4 years now. It's time to contend in a big way. It's time to be. You're in your fourth year. There's no more excuses. And you want to blame the players? It's one of those guys. Whether we add pitching. All right. You put the collection of players together, dude. Are you kidding me? You put the collection of players together, and then you go, it's all the players. All right. Yeah, it's a shell game. I get it. You know, pass the blame. This is so far above Gabe. You hear me arguing? You hear me talking about Gabe? Nah. I didn't mention Gabe once because this is above him. These are all directives how the game is played. They come out of the break three games at home against Washington, and they lose two or three. Are you kidding me? Now the Dodgers come in. Now they're lucky because the Dodgers went to extra innings last night with Boston, so their bullpen is taxed. And they got home, and it was a long game, so they didn't get in town, so they're probably a little loggy today. But let's just see what happens here. Amazing. I got to tell you, I so want you guys, and I'm going to turn it over to you guys. Because I'm so aggravated right now. And the idea that, I'm sorry. Do you understand, where you're at? The utter disrespect for your fan base. And by the way, he would talk about a groundhog. When do you see him? When do you see Andy McPhail?
At the end of the season. That's it.
When he graces us with his presence. He's culprit number one in my book. He hired Klentak. He signs off on everything. He's the culprit. Andy McPhail, the culprit. Number one. All right. We'll come back. 610-632-0975. It is the Midday Show. I'm Cuz.
Gargano and Martinez Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
I think it's the momentum that we can ride going into the Dodgers series. We've got a lot of work to do. We understand that. But we certainly don't discount the energy boost that a game like today can give us.
You know what I hear? I hear him. I hear the Charlie Brown, blah, 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 blah.
Let's open it up in chat.
That's what I hear. By the way, I do want to correct the record. Mikey Miss. He said he never said it wasn't Klentak or McPhail. He just said it wasn't Gabe. So I want to make sure that Mikey gets his proper due. He's good to hear him checking in. By the way, did you see Pernell Whitaker, Sweet Pea, died?
Yeah, I saw that this morning.
Dude, I love Sweet Pea. Got hit by a car.
It's terrible.
It's awful. It's terrible. I saw him fight De La Hoya.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I covered a bunch of his fights.
Young, too. Like 55 he was?
Yeah.
Shame.
I know. Yeah, I saw him fight a couple fights. I covered a fight in El Paso, Texas.
Really?
And it was an outdoor fight. It was one of the most awesome spectacles because the fight was like, It was in the summer, so it was like light out.
Well, how hot was it?
It was hot. You know, it was outside.
It's got to be tough.
Yeah, it was definitely hot. But, you know, you're facing like the Red Mountains, like the canyons. And it was awesome. Like a great spectacle. And then like you saw the, you know, it was cool because it went from light to dark as the fights are going on.
Oh, that's cool.
And you're outside, like, fights under the lights are outrageous.
Yeah, I still want to go to a boxing match. Never been.
That's, you know, that's something that's, you know, few and far between where the fight, and every once in a while they would do it outside in Vegas. But I've only covered a handful of these outside fights. They're awesome. And a place like, it was cool because it was like El Paso and just the real rugged landscape. It was all like reds and oranges.
Yeah, the scenery added to it.
Oh my God, it was cool. It was cool. All right, let's get back to the phones. I want to get to, where are we at? Nick, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Nicky.
Hello, Anthony. Good morning. How are we doing?
Good morning, Nick.
You know, it was funny. Saturday, Andrew and Bro, I want to tip my hat, did a really good job leading everything off and showing you the Phillies draft year after year on the Klentek, the mistakes and the empty prospects. And Anthony, you did a great job introducing. You just like cleaned the bases. What's the problem? And I've been saying this for 2 years, McPhail and Klentek. I've been saying it. I've been calling in. Just look at the Phillies' whole philosophy. We have a power park. We're drafting guys who are slap hitters. No power guys. Think about that for a second.
I mean, it's embarrassing.
Oh,
did they go
horrible.
Moniak number one overall and Hazley number eight overall? What?
Yep.
Outfielders too, by the way. Yep. Outfielders.
Two punching Judy hitters that they go after. You had. I don't want to get into who they had and all, but just think of the movie Trouble with the Curve. But the Phillies are the guys who have the computers next to them. All that analytical ball, and then the good teams are the guys who got Clint Eastwood there with the eye and knowing exactly how to draft and who to draft. And that's a perfect example of who the Phillies are and their problem. Anthony, listen, you don't have to worry about getting away from the team. You know why? They're in such trouble, major trouble, because you cannot sustain and win without draft picks.
No.
That is the background of your team. And John Middleton needs to get off his ass, because he didn't become a successful businessman having jackasses around him, and he's got two of them running his organization. He's the problem. You need to clean house this year and get rid of them. What did the Cubs do, Anthony?
Yeah.
Who did they go get?
Yeah.
Theo Epstein.
Yeah.
World Series. Who did the Braves go get? The guy from the Dodgers who was running everything for them.
Mm-hmm.
Who did we get? A guy who's failed since 1991 with the Twins, McPhail, and what track record does Klentek have? That's the problem. It's Middleton. You just can't go out and go spend, and think you're going to win. It don't work today.
Well, it's amazing, too, and have you ever seen, again, we've lived through it, but this farm system has been just woeful, even before those two, has been just woeful. And they can't get an outfielder.
Nope.
I mean, think about like Altair and Nick Williams. They're all failures. None of them work. Who can't draft that? Who can't develop an outfielder? It's unbelievable.
You're right, Anthony. One guy. They can't. That's amazing to me.
Go back into history. How many outfielders have they developed?
I think on Saturday, guy said we had one all-star, Luzinski, over the last 30 years or something. Like a crazy number we had.
Well, now Santana was in their system, and they traded him away. Right.
Here's another thing. Think about this, Anthony. McPhail said that their philosophy is we're not going to put a lot of money into free agent pitchers because of the unpredictability of them. We're going to put it into hitters because we're going to develop our pitchers. Anthony, who have they developed?
I know.
How does that work? They can't even bring up a guy as a fifth starter from AAA.
I know.
They have nothing.
I know. I mean, Noel is it.
It's so frustrating because you have diehard fans You got smart fans. You got people who love the Phillies.
I know.
It's brutal.
Yeah, it is.
Let me tell you, it is brutal. No one, you got everybody wake up and smell the coffee. It's horrible. It's going down a very bad path, man.
I know, Nicky. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it, man. Nah, I mean, and I love his passion because that's what we're about here. That's what we're about. Now, you know, and here's the thing. Because our focus, now again, we'll pay attention and we'll always pay attention to the Phillies. But our true focus is about the shift. Now, I never thought that the training camp, it would be over. And technically it's not. But the way this whole thing is headed, as soon as they start to lace them up, our attention is going to be gone.
Yeah, because they're about to face the Dodgers. And if they get swept, if they lose 3 of 4.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.